desire and interest in your prayers today. I want to be an empty vessel for the Lord. Written on the board, steadfast focus. This morning I ask for your attention and your prayers as we spend a little bit of time considering and reflecting just a little bit. In the second chapter of Hebrews and the first verse, the writer said, therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and it is, and if every transgression and if every disobedience received a just recompense of reward, and it will, it says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great of salvation? How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? Escape what? Escape the alternative to being saved, which means being lost. I don't want to be lost. I don't want to be neglectful. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? I've written on the board, steadfast focus. And I could have written it different ways this morning. We could have written unwavering focus, unwavering attention. Could have written maintained focus, consistent focus, perpetual. But I feel like this morning that the verse that we read and what has been written on the board captures the message that I was inspired with to deliver today. Do you remember what happened to hearts, those of you that are old enough to remember, on 9/11, after 9/11? That was 2001, so some of you that are here this morning weren't around in 2001. I guess that was not quite 23 years ago. Those that were around and old enough to remember probably remember where you were when it happened. I remember exactly where I was at work and what we were doing. Terrible tragedy. Terrible exercise of evil was visited upon our nation. And do you remember what happened after that? Do you remember that hearts were turned to God? Do you remember that it was not an uncommon thing for people publicly to recognize the value of prayer and to come together and pray? And there was more emphasis on the value of relationships. And there was a recognition of what happens when evil takes place. And there was a more clear recognition of our great need as human beings of a higher power. Remember? And the other thing that it seemed like that our perspective and our vision was enlightened to was that life is a gift. And that life can be taken from us so quickly and at such unexpected times. Life is a gift and it's precious. Relationships with other people are precious and they're a gift. But you know what happened after that? With just a little bit of time that passed, and when the emotions receded from that terrible event, and figuratively speaking, people went back to their homes and back to their lives, what happened was is that people largely went back to where they were right before it ever happened. Even though our need of prayer, and even though our need of a higher power still existed, and even though the consequences of sin, and even though the pending judgment of sin still approached, and even though God was still alive, and God was still looking down upon us, seeing all that was going on and recognizing where our hearts were, people largely went back to the place that they were before this ever happened. And the most important matters of life and death and relationships, and God, prayer, were largely put on the back seat. And I suppose that similar sorts of things happen every day on maybe what seems like to a smaller extent, where people's focus on the things that matter most in life sometimes are the flame shines brighter, it burns brighter, and we have a more clear recognition and our eyes are opened and the light switch gets flipped on, and that happens sometimes when there are destructive fires or when there is human tragedy or the passing of loved ones or when accidents take place at work or on the road, and these things happen maybe suddenly and it stirs us in our hearts and our minds, and we realize the importance of the weightier matters of life. You know what I'm talking about this morning? You been there? I remember not quite 25 years ago, I was on a business trip to Louisiana and was almost to Monroe, Louisiana, driving a rental car, having no idea that I would live there many years down the road. And a motorcyclist traveling directly in front of me, I was immediately behind him on Interstate 12, and he lost control of his bike, and I watched him literally bounce across the pavement, the asphalt. And I was the first one to him. And as I did the best that I could to tend to him until the paramedics came, there quickly became a group of passers-by that gathered off to the side in a circle. And you know what they were doing? They weren't saying, well, what differences do we have? You know what? I don't like the way that that you look. What church do you go to? How do you spend your money? What's your hobbies? What are you affiliated with? No, none of that. There was a circle of people that gathered and lifted up their hearts to God and began crying on God for help. And they didn't care if other people heard their prayers. They were not praying quietly. They were praying loudly. For God to have mercy. Because there was something that happened that caused them to realize wherever we were going and whatever we were doing, it's not as important as this is. And so they stopped and they lifted up their hearts to God in prayer. Those types of events can have that effect on our lives. And on the other side of the spectrum, emotionally uplifting things can do the same thing. Sometimes people go to crusades. Sometimes there are men's groups that get together and they're good things. And they talk about good things. And there is an esprit de corps that happens among them. And there's women's groups that sometimes retreats that get together. And other times there are collaborative working sessions that take place off-site somewhere. And they're emotionally uplifting. And people go away feeling that a positive influence has taken place. And they have things that they want to do different in life. But you know what happens? Many, many times, what happens is that after they go back home, and after a little bit of time passes, they go back to where they were before. Experience in human nature teach us that that is often what happens. Well, a little over a week ago, we came together as a congregation. And we had a camp meeting here. And we fed on a different kind of bread than what you normally encounter in town and in life. We came and for day after day, we were consistently fed with the bread of life. And we prayed and we sang and we felt the Spirit of God come among us, didn't we? And I suspect that many of us, if not all of us, we encountered places as if we were looking in a mirror and saw ourselves and saw something that we became uncomfortable with, right? And had a desire, a strong desire to realize change in our lives, that we might draw closer to God, recognizing that that's what matters most. But I am so aware this morning that if we are not very intentional and deliberate about those types of things and how we respond afterwards, that most people end back up in what I'll call familiar ruts of life that perhaps have been developed and are well worn by habitual and familiar paths that we take in life. And yet, we are more accountable today than we were before the meeting happened. And I can't help but think about what Daniel said to Belshazzar during the pronunciation of judgment. He said, "You knew all these things already. These things that I've told you," as he was being judged, he said, "You knew these things. Your grandfather told you these things. It's written in the fourth chapter of Daniel. You knew them. And yet, you allowed yourself to forget, to neglect the most important things of life. And because of that, there's a judgment. I don't want to be found wanting, do you?" So this morning I would like to read one more verse. In 1 Corinthians, the 16th chapter, and the 13th verse, it says, "Watch ye. Stand fast in the faith. Quit ye like men. Be strong." This verse is intended to be short. These pronunciations and exhortations are intended to be short for spiritual impact and effect. Watch ye. You watch. Stand fast in the faith. Quit ye like men. Be strong. Brothers and sisters, we, by God's help this morning, must watch and pay attention steadfastly to what matters most. Lest we get our eyes off of what is most important and begin to be distracted away from the bread of life and those things that feed the soul. Because the world offers all-you-can-eat sampler platters at seemingly no cost. Things that draw our attention and draw our minds and pull us back into the ruts where we perhaps have spent years living our lives. Because it's comfortable, we're accustomed to it, it is familiar. And if we're not careful, if we don't watch, if we're not deliberate, if we are not intentional, then we'll start to stray away. So this verse simply but powerfully says, "Watch ye." It didn't say, "You watch other people to see how they're living their spiritual lives, to make sure that you can correct them if they get out of order." It said, "You watch." Watch what? Watch after your souls. You watch. Watch after what is most important. Your soul. That is going to stand before God with eternity out ahead. Your soul, your heart, that perhaps is responsible for others coming behind you, that they might have been exposed to the bread of life from your life through Jesus Christ, that they might stand before God in peace. See what I'm saying? If we're not watching, and if we allow our eyes to be distracted with those things that are all around us, there's no way that we can do the next thing that he says in this verse where he says, stand fast in the faith. Well, stand fast in the faith. We've heard that many times, haven't we? Are you comfortable with those words or are you uncomfortable? Do they cause healthy tension? That's a word that's out there in the business world, healthy tension. Do you experience healthy spiritual tension when you hear the words, stand fast in the faith? Or are those words that we are so familiar with and so accustomed to hearing? We've heard them all of our lives. Stand fast in the faith. And we say, well, yes, we want to stand fast in the faith. We're Christians. That's what Christians do, is that we stand fast in the faith. Yes, that we want to do that. But we are so comfortable with the way that we're living. We're so comfortable with how it's been in the past. We're so comfortable with the words that are put together, the sequence of the words, stand fast in the faith. We're so comfortable with that that doesn't move us. We become lukewarm to it because we're so familiar with it. Folks, being familiar with the Word of God, being familiar with people of God, being familiar with the way of God and righteousness and holiness does not equate to adherence. Being familiar with something does not equate to internalizing it and making it part of who you are by the grace of God. Familiarity can breed lukewarmness if we are not very deliberate and intentional. I want to stand fast in the faith. I don't want to be drawn into the forests of this world that offer so many things to look at that I lose my way. Because I'm going to stand before God. Because other little lives that are following after me are depending on me to stand in the faith and not be a moving target. That they can pattern their life after it and be safe. I remember one time I was out hunting by myself, looking out over a very large clear cut, and I heard something just inside the tree line that captured my attention, and so I went to investigate. And so I tromped off through the clear cut and made it to where I thought the noise came from, and as quietly as I could, I began walking into the trees and quickly found what made the noise. I walked upon a herd of sitting elk, probably 50 of them, because I counted up 40-some elk. And it was beautiful. It was awesome. Stay with me for a minute. It was appealing to my eyes. And I was taken with it. These animals that were huge. And they were right there. Only they didn't stay there. Because I came in. They didn't spook. In a crazy way, but they got up. It was like they all got up at the same time. And I was just spellbound as I watched. Not from a distance. I'm talking about like from here to the door. And I watched them get up. And it was almost eerie. It almost seemed quiet as they began to move like phantom elk through the trees. And what do you think I did? I followed them. Because I was so taken with them. I wasn't thinking about anything else, but I wanted to see what they were all about. And so I followed them and followed them until they were gone. And I couldn't keep up with them. And so I stopped. And you know probably the rest of the story. I looked around. And all the trees looked the same. And the ground looked the same everywhere I looked. And all the trails looked the same everywhere I looked. And I was lost. And I didn't know which way to go. And it was a bad feeling. And I want to encourage you today, be careful what forest you wander into. There are a lot of things that capture our attention in life. There are a lot of things that look awesome to us. There are a lot of things that can cause us to focus on them to the point that we lose track of where we're going. And we walk right away from the faith. Not because we say we're going to walk away from the faith, or that we're going to be as the thing that we're chasing after, but we're just interested. I'm interested in that. And we begin to pursue it a little bit until we become lost. And those that are following us are lost too. I am challenged in my life today to be careful what I allow to distract me in life. Non-sinful things that can draw me away from the bread of life. Non-sinful things. And yet in the end, what it has done is it has moved me away from the faith. Where I look around and I say, where's God? Where are my moorings? Where is stability? What is my purpose? Where is my peace? Why is all this happening to me? Because we were allowed to be drawn away. And we didn't purpose with intention and deliberateness to stand fast in the faith. Quit ye like men. Finish what you start. Quit you like men. Don't just start in this way and then give up partway through. Be strong like a man that's in battle that's going to fight to the very end. Be quit ye like men. Finish what you start. If I'm going to be a runner, yes, it's good. Go get a number. Plaster it on you. I'm number whatever. Get some runner's clothes. Register for the run. Get some water. Sometimes it's half the battle to do that. But then run to the end. You've got some mountains ahead of you. There's some places that are some hot, heated places you're going to have to run through. There's going to be some deep waters you're going to have to run through. There's going to be some unexpected turns that you face. Quit ye like men. Finish. Finish what you started in the Lord. Don't back up. Be strong, it says. I can't just decide that I'm going to be strong. I can't just come to church and hear a message on being strong and then say, I'm going to be strong, and then do nothing else. Listen, people that are strong and that stay strong and that get stronger, it's because they purpose to be strong and do whatever it takes to stay strong. They exercise. They manage their diet. They're careful what goes in, lest they become sick. They exercise in things that keep them strong, even when they don't feel like it. If we are to be dependable servants of the Lord, God is calling us to be strong spiritual people. And if we want to be strong, spiritual, dependable servants of the Lord, we are going to have to be willing to manage our diet. We're going to have to manage what we take in. We're going to have to manage what we take into our eyes and our ears. We're going to have to manage the places that we go. We're going to have to yield ourselves, our members, as instruments of righteousness, even when we don't feel like it. We're going to have to be willing to come into the presence of the Lord and read His Word and be honest with ourselves and the Lord and allow Him to touch on places in our lives that He would like us to make change in. And we are going to have to be willing to stretch spiritual muscles that we're not used to exercising. And oftentimes it's uncomfortable. People that are strong look for the places where they are weak. And instead of accepting it, they make change to begin to try to strengthen the areas that they know they're weak. But it takes a person that is intentional. We have to be deliberate about this, or we're going to be just like all of the examples that we set the foundation of the message with, where we come face to face with ourselves in a mirror and something happens that causes our emotions to rise up and it causes us to have an emotional repurpose in our lives of what we want and what we're going to commit to. But if we are not deliberate, if we do not maintain steadfast focus, we are going to be drawn back into a place of comfort where we're so accustomed to living. And then with time, and with a little folding of the hands, no change will have taken place. And yet, God has been faithful to feed us bread from heaven, to open the Word of God to our hearts and our minds, to reveal to us, to shine light in our path and say, this is the way, walk ye in it. But then we hear something and we go to investigate, not because we say that we want to turn away from the light, but because we become distracted and we don't maintain intentional, deliberate, steadfast focus, and we get drawn away into the woods and the forests of life and risk becoming one that is lost We must do these things this morning. If we want to be saved, watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit ye like men, be strong. Not just regarding the camp meeting that we just came out of, but the word of the Lord that you hear on a weekly basis, the word of the Lord that you read on a daily basis, hopefully, the Spirit's voice that speaks to you in quiet times. Watch. Stand fast. Quit ye like men. Finish. Be strong. We are going to have to do this more and want to do it more than anything else in life if we're going to cross the finish line in peace. And there is going to come a time when every single person on the face of this earth, they are going to want to have been alive that lived according to truth. They are going to want to have been alive that received oil from above and that has oil in their vessel when Jesus Christ comes back at the last judgment. Or when He comes back and He knocks on our life at a time unexpected. And we stand before Him without notice. Every single person in this world will want to have been watchful and steadfast and a finisher by the grace of God and strong. This morning, let's be a people. Let's determine to be deliberate and intentional with our Christian life and carry with us hope and courage, knowing that Jesus Christ has promised to walk with us the whole way with goodness and mercy to help us get across the line if we'll just let Him. And we can let Him this morning if we will. Let's be challenged. Let's be encouraged. Pray for me. I want to be true. Amen.